part two of the Buzz Bubble with Rich Silverstein. Now back to our host, Kevin Kelly, on the Buzz Bubble.
Let's jump into the work. Doritos, Super Bowl. What's your take on Super Bowl and how powerful it is and, you know?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, Super Bowl, when I first started, I thought, come on. You know, it's like, not when I first started, but somewhere long after 1984, I was like, oh, Super Bowl, it's so bogus, come on. Well, you can't ignore it. You cannot ignore it anymore. It's too big. It's the pebble that goes into the water is a Super Bowl spot. The ripples that come out of it are staggering. It just never ends. So one spot that costs $3 million, which you would think is ridiculous, which is ridiculous.
But maybe on a CPM basis, it's probably not so bad.
Unbelievable. No, you can't ignore it, and you have to do it.
Yeah.
So my take on the Super Bowl is you got to play.
Not only do you get the eyeballs, but people are paying attention. Like, the commercials are coming on. They don't give a crap about the game.
But they're never good enough.
What?
They're never good enough. I always leave the Super Bowl going, I hate this business. Always.
Why?
I don't think they're good enough.
The spots.
I think, all right, you get hit in the nuts once, it's funny. Three times, not funny. And it's a cliche, the cliche of what makes a Super Bowl spot. I think the meter thing is kind of bogus, but my God, you got to play in it.
Sure.
What else?
You guys played pretty well. You had some great spots.
They're not great.
You got
spots.
Coverage before the game. That's
some
one
spots.
Of the things.
How did
that happen? You had this, it was the Super Bowl postponed because Doritos commercial's not done. I don't know. It was on. See, if you don't even know about it, that's the kind of stuff.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. And it was, that's the kind of stuff, like, great advertising gets other attention that you don't even,
well, that's,
you know,
true. That's
see.
True.
Top of the Dome is news of a super delay.
Right.
The NFL is putting the Super Bowl on hold to give Doritos more time to finish its commercial.
Very shocking. The league released a statement just today saying, quote, Doritos is one of the NFL's longtime partners, and a Super Bowl without one of their trademark commercials is unimaginable.
I would like, if we're going to play in the Super Bowl arena, I think we'd like to do our spots a little earlier. We tend to be, maybe everyone scrambles at the end.
Yeah.
You can't ignore it. And the world loves advertising, you know? I don't like advertising. I actually hate advertising. I've said that a lot of times. You would be surprised by that.
I would be surprised. I am surprised.
I'm not an advertising junkie. I don't read trades. I don't pay attention to advertising. I pay attention to everything else because I want to be soaked up by popular culture and news and movies and sports and theater and art, and then I'll do advertising.
People and the way they think and the psychology of that, does that intrigue you? Is that part of the allure of?
I don't study, a McKinsey type thinking where they want to do studies and look at people. I think we go from the gut, we go from the heart, and go from the mind. It's very human. And nothing's changed between Jeff and myself. I mean, as you will know, you've probably realized this, we're very different people, but
yeah.
We see the work very similarly. And it's that yin-yang of him being one way and me being another that has that's worked.
So let's jump ahead to that one, the you and Jeff thing. How does that work? And I go from agency to agency. All the agencies don't have a duo, but a lot of them have that. And we, you know, I kind of call it the hippie straight guy thing. Like, you know, the guy with the ponytail.
The hippie straight guy.
The buttoned up. Yeah, you know.
Nah.
And I asked him that last year.
What?
He goes, I don't know. And he's like, well, I got the ponytail. I guess I'm the hippie. And
all right, he's more of a hippie. I've always been amazingly practical.
Okay, practical is a good word.
You know, art directors have to be practical. They're in early in the morning. In our office at 8 o'clock in the morning, there's the art directors. The writers come in a tent. It's never changed.
So that's the other side of it.
So you came from the art side.
I have an art director personality.
He has a writer personality.
Okay. Oh, and that's where you put together. Hal puts you guys together.
Exactly.
Copy.
So
okay.
He comes from the journalistic side. I come from the art direction from journalism.
Okay.
And so I went from Rolling Stone magazine to a city magazine. I found my way in advertising. I never wanted to do advertising. I was a graphic designer. And so he was a journalist. And that, when I say I hate advertising, I hate the approach. I don't hate advertising schools because actually that's where we're getting our people. But I didn't go to school.
But they're all not.
I didn't go to school for advertising. You know, I'm a student of design and popular culture.
Right. I guess go to, you know, to the how you got in here. You know, yeah. You don't like it, so how'd you end up here? So,
yeah.
From the art side.
Yeah. All right, I went to Parsons School of Design in New York. I wanted to be a designer. I was a mediocre designer. I've actually become a good designer. I was really mediocre, and I started to somehow grasp the advertising is more interesting than the design, and that was only because being an editorial, the ads would come in, you had to put them in the magazines. Well, that's kind of interesting. And I had to beg a couple of times to give me a 6-month trial in advertising agencies to get a job.
Still goes on.
And I wouldn't hire myself today when I look at my portfolio, by the way. It was pretty bad.
Now, is there a story behind that desk that goes back to that?
This desk, Parsons School of Design, every cut, every bleeding, every razor blade that slipped and hit my finger, here it is.
Still there.
It's never changed. I'm a traditionalist with 3 computers.
Yeah.
So, you know, I...
You get an idea, do you still grab a piece of paper?
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, my comping, bizarrely.
I resisted.
My comping is cut and paste. I mean, tape.
Yeah.
You know, everything is. I
resisted
still
it
do
for a long time.
A stupid sketch.
Yeah.
And I cut and paste, and I can do it faster than anybody on the computer. And then now, what I do is I search for images on the, anywhere.
Anywhere
I find them, and then I kind of print them out, design it quickly, then give it to people in the studio, and they kind of finesse it.
Right.
But
I resisted for a long time. I came from hardcore computer geek, digital side.
Yeah. I'm not going to talk about being anti-tech anymore. It's stupid. We're moving forward.
I mean,
look, we have Adobe.
You used to talk about anti-tech?
Well, I used to, but it's stupid. We have we have Adobe. We have HP. We have Netflix. We have Yahoo. We have...
They're not tech.
But the thing is, a lot of our clients are very much in the modern world, and you got to be in the modern world.
Yeah, no, I mean, I draw. If I, you know, I used to think, oh, I'll open a PowerPoint or Word or Photoshop. No, just get an idea.
Mm-mm-mm. Where'd you go to school?
I'm a Berklee College of Music graduate.
I
came from the tech side. I was the guy that mixed records for a lot of years. You know, I was the guy behind the board.
No, that's fantastic.
And then the internet came along, and it was like, oh, another digital place to be creative.
Right.
So then I ended up.
Well, let's talk about the internet. Where we've built an entire animation department here. I mean, a serious animation department that can compete with anybody. And it came from first doing some HP commercials where we wanted a little ending. And we had one person here doing that. That grew and grew.
Those spots are amazing.
Well, they're old
the
now.
The 3D with the...
They're old. But that is so
cool.
Years ago. But the internet has allowed us to take graphic design and move it, put animation, sound to it, edit it, and it's a great play area that we haven't been able to do before.
Right.
And so the internet is just wonderful. It's opened everyone's eyes in creative to do more things. And so the agency celebrates that by having editors and art directors and illustrators and animators and musicians and sound people all here.
Yeah.
We don't have to do everything here, but we would sure like to do it.
Yeah. I'm hearing more and more about people bringing in digital, bringing in editing, bringing in 3D, and just because you also bring the people in earlier too.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of want to believe it's art school, but we pay you.
Well, everybody's learning every day, I think, in this business.
Not anymore.
Oh, okay, not anymore.
Those are the old days. I don't know. I didn't, but I
martinis
know
and all
I've
that.
Heard people did that.
Yeah. Jerry Delafield talks about that.
Back there, they're laughing. Because they're
the
still
camera
doing
guys.
It.
Yeah. Oh, well, I got to get your version of the birth of Got Milk. I'm sure you're just so tired of telling it, but everybody wants to hear.
It is a classic cliche story. We're pitching. We have everything. Just we know what our strategy is, that... the absence of milk is interesting. We knew that.
Did you have a tag at the time? Or not quite?
No, I think we talked a lot about the strategy of somebody wrote a book and got famous, although it wasn't that way. He's a good guy, though. we talked about bowls of cereal, and you'd cut the bananas and the strawberries, and you'd put the sugar on, and then you go, ah, you got nothing. And that was our idea, that you have nothing, that it was the absence of it. Because it was air, water. What are the things you take for granted? Air, water, milk. And good story, very quickly. Butler Shine, I live in Sausalito, they do Mini Cooper.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Butler Shine,
I am a Mini owner, love them.
They left as soon as we started pitching milk. I said, you guys are going to pitch milk? You can make something out of anything. Oh, I never forget when they made, they wouldn't work on it. They thought, we don't want to work on milk.
So they were going to pitch and they just backed out and said no.
They went and started their own agency. It's fine. I just a joke. Anyway, how did milk start? It came from the observation of the absence of milk made it something you cared about. It wasn't the 100-yard dash, you know, where you ran, made you strong, you guzzled it, which is what hundreds, 10 years of advertising did.
Right.
And then I'm not sure if it was going to the pitch or at the pitch, but I remember, this is cliche, Jeff writing it on a little piece of paper like a napkin, got milk, and with a question mark. And I went, that is dumb. That is really bad. But Jeff has a quirky way of talking, of writing, not talking. This is not quirky talking. And, you know, it grew on you. And then And then we were working on it. And then the art directors and writers were making the first commercials. And they put the type in Helvetica really small. And they didn't voice it. And I saw the rough cut. And I said, you got to say it. People aren't feeling it, and you got to put a logo to it. And they went, no, we want to keep it really quiet. And they rebelled against me. And Susie Barraby, who works as head of production, print production, and myself, found that typeface. That looks good. Let's do that.
Well, it's cool because it's so small, but it's even smaller.
But we wanted it to have a voice and an identity, and we wanted it to actually have an audio.
Yeah.
And that's when they voiced, got milk. But it's funny how things happen. The art directors and writers didn't want it because it was too obvious to say it. They didn't want to make a big deal of the words. And you got to sometimes go, no, that doesn't feel right. Because it's so easy when you're a creative director for them to say,
no,
that is just not cool. You hear it, you have to have the strength to go, no, you're not right.
And a lot of great ideas, once you hear them, are obvious. Oh, yeah. Well,
yeah.
But you didn't think
I think they thought we were selling too hard, sold out, whatever. But, you know, the first spot was Michael Bay's spot with Aaron Burr. It was pretty damn great.
That's amazing.
But the punctuation of got milk and giving it an identity that it never had before seems so simple now, but it's important to build a brand. A brand has to have a voice and an identity. Both audio and visually. So luckily, it worked out. But Jeff wrote the line. It's still clumsy. It's still stupid. But it works.
What's your favorite ripoff? Everybody in the world, my daughter goes to dance classes.
God, porn is always the best. Whatever. I don't know. There's so many.
There's everything.
And
such a tribute to it.
Well, you go down the street and you go, we should sue them. But it's not ours, it's the milk's.
Right, nobody has time.
That's it for part two of the Buzz Bubble with Rich Silverstein. See what's coming up next week in part three.
Integration is never easy. It's just not. Because you're asking the New York Giants to play ball with the Dallas Cowboys together to beat the Redskins?
Just give me your playbook for a few days. We got to work on this thing and...
because agencies have cultures. Yeah. And I love to say, we are ball teams.
Next week on the Buzz Bubble.